Well, good morning.
Good morning.
How are we today? You know, it's been a very contentious week all around with the election nationally. Obviously, a very contentious week, weekend with the Ray Tensing hung jury trial. Yeah. And so, with the midst of all that uncertainty, you are in the right place today.
Yeah, that is absolutely right. That is absolutely right. Yeah. You know, like many of you, I mean, I'm processing my own personal feelings on all of this, and yet I know that in a time like this, the best thing that I can do is fix my eyes on Jesus. And that's what we're going to do, and we actually want to invite you to do that with us tomorrow night. So we're going to have a night of prayer for our city and for our nation. It's going to happen Monday at 7 p.m. at Crossroads Uptown. So all of you are invited. If you're watching online, you're invited to come, and let's be together in this moment and pray, because I really believe Jesus can make a difference. And in fact, that's why we're starting this service today with baptisms. You always plan to do this, but it's just another symbol of the fact that even though things might feel like they're falling apart around us, Jesus is still transforming lives. And so at all of our sites, we're celebrating people who have made a commitment to surrender their lives to Jesus, and they're celebrating that publicly today through baptism. So it's going to be an amazing service and an opportunity for us to fix our eyes on Jesus and on the hope that he can provide. Yeah. So we're going to start by watching a video of one of the folks who's getting baptized this weekend. We're glad you're here.
So I was very arrogant growing up. I definitely thought that I possessed all the knowledge and experience I needed. I thought that church and church-going people were weaker, and that they needed to believe in something, and you know, something how they coped with life. I partied a lot. I drank a lot. I womanized. No matter how big the party was, no matter who I met or what I gathered in a material sense, I still felt very empty. Only really left me with hurting other people or taking advantage of other people or, you know, not really appreciating anything other than myself. And it really wasn't until I was blessed with a son that kind of things started to take shape. I really tried to think about, you know, what would God kind of whisper to me, or what would he like for me to do. It was at that point where things started truly changing for me. Going forward and being baptized, I want to announce to the world that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I do believe that he is the Son of God, and I'm actually getting married on November 18th. And so kind of looking at that and how I'll be publicly making a statement of my commitment to my fiance and our family, I wanted to have that same moment in my relationship with God. I wanted to proclaim that publicly and really emphasize that, you know, without him, I wouldn't be where I am today, and to show my thankfulness.
Good morning. Welcome to Crossroads. I want to have you all stand on up now, and we are going to sing some songs now to our King.
When we hear your voice, call us out to the unknown, uncertain. We will call to mind your ageless faithfulness to your people, your creation. We will I'm not afraid to We're empty, we are broken. When the enemy's strong and there seems nowhere to run, we will trust you, you are with us. We will.
Higher than the mountains that I face, and stronger. Give them and you making beautiful things, making all things new. In your name we pray. Amen. Say hello to those around you, and then have a seat.
Hey everybody, my name's Matt. I'm excited about this holiday series that starts next weekend. I love everything about Christmas, and yet, I don't know if you're like me, it's chaotic and crazy between buying the gifts, getting to the parties, planning everything out. It can be crazy, and this holiday series is gonna be a place where we can escape and find peace. Every weekend, you can bring your friends, your family, your coworkers, and for an hour, take a breath, and experience peace, and a God of peace, and hear about the Christmas story that's gonna add meaning to a holiday season, maybe unlike any year we've had in the past. It's gonna be really, really exciting. And over the next couple weeks, we've got a number of exciting things going on. You know, I've got a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old at home, and so I know a thing or two about finding peace, or at least looking for it. And Kids Club is giving us a really awesome resource. If you're a family with kids, we're giving away next weekend God Story 365 calendar. It's a rip-off calendar, and every page for every day is a new activity, a new story, a new Bible character, all geared around language that kids can understand and parents can engage with their kids. And so if you would like one of those, we'd love to give you one for free. So if you're a part of the Anywhere team, you can just email us by next weekend at anywhere@crossroads.net, and we're gonna send you a calendar. If you're in and around Cincinnati or near one of our sites, get to a site next weekend. Everyone who gets to a site next weekend, you bring your friends, they'll get a calendar. Everyone who comes is gonna get a calendar. It's gonna be really, really exciting. We're also in the middle of Thanksgiving food drive, right? Every year our team bands together and really fulfills needs for people who otherwise wouldn't have the ability to have a great Thanksgiving dinner or an even meaningful day. And so in the Anywhere world, we're sort of all doing this together for hyper-local impact at a global scale. And so there's sort of three steps to engage. One is find a partner, find a team, and fulfill the need. So find a partner, a local food bank, a church, a family in your neighborhood, and then find a team. Who's gonna help you do this? Your family, your coworkers, your friends, everybody band together, and then fulfill the need. Go shopping for the food, grab winter coats, get whatever school supplies your person needs. Whatever it might be, whatever the need is, next weekend is the weekend to deliver the need. So at all of our sites in Cincinnati, people are gonna be bringing food together, these boxes back that we're gonna take to do Thanksgiving meals. All around the world, we're gonna be fulfilling whatever the local needs are, and we're all gonna hop on social media and tell all these stories together through pictures and quotes, and it's gonna be a really incredible thing to be a part of. The other thing we're starting to think about is what's gonna happen next year. And I just wonder what in 2017 is gonna be different this year for you, and I have an opportunity for you to go on an adventure that I think will change your life. We're gonna take a group of Anywhere folks to South Africa this year. We're all gonna meet up and fly to Cape Town and serve with our partners. And there's something really incredible that happens when we get out of our zip codes, we get out of our comfort zones, we try to serve other people. God typically shows up in really powerful ways and changes us in the process. And I think for some of us, this is gonna be the pivot point in 2017. It's gonna change our life, and it's gonna make this year different from any other year. And so you can go to crossroadsgo.net and learn more about that trip, how to sign up, how to get more information. We'd love for you to come with us. We'd be really excited about it. We're gonna have a time to be generous now as we continue in our service. You can go to crossroads.net/give and sign up to give. You can be a part of the team who funds the infrastructure for TFD, for Go Trips, for these weekend experiences that we have. If you're brand new, we're just excited that you're with us. We hope you experience something new today, and there's no pressure to give. While we give, we're going to sort of get a feeling for the excitement that happens when we band together as a team around Thanksgiving food drive.
That is one of our best weekends ever. Next weekend, man, if you've never been involved with this, it is just an amazing feel at all of our campuses. People bringing back boxes. You want to be involved with that, make sure you pick one up, or two, or four, or five, or six. Or if you're hurting on cash, like split one with a couple people or something like that. That would be really, really huge. Well, did we have a good time with the Real Encounter series over the last few weeks? Yeah, people said, man, how was Israel? And I'm going like, Israel, that was back in May, believe it or not. I was back there in May. That had a long lead time. And we planned that out really well, and we thought this could be the time of the year we want to do that. And then this week was supposed to be a week to encourage people who are in a crossroads, who've made I'm in campaign commitments, financial commitments, giving above and beyond what we normally give for 3 years to bless the world. And so that's what this one was. We had it planned out, but then stupid us, we didn't realize, there was an election that could be the most divisive, contentious election in our lifetimes. And so today's gonna be a mutt. It's gonna be a crossbreed. It's going to be a little bit of politics. There's more politics than we've generally ever done here, but I feel like that's kind of where people's faces are, our heads are, our minds are. I want to give you some perspectives, and then we're going to shift into, actually, it's not that hard of a shift as you might think, into some of the crazy, hopeful, beautiful things that you're going to love hearing about that's God doing through us. Does that sound good? Cool? Peachy? All right, let's pray right now before we go any further. God, by the way, Real Encounter is like, you're really encountering me real. I'm not on video. This is like real here. This is good. So God, I'm thanking you that I can be here real in person, and it's just good to be with people who want more. That's where we are here today. We're all here today because we want more. We want to understand you more. We want to seek you more. We want more of your power and presence in our lives. We want a perspective that we're not going to get from the media, or we want just a sense of connection that we can't get from social media. So help me to be clear today. Most importantly, help me to honor you with all that's said. And I pray these things according to your character, Jesus. Amen. You know, when you opt into a place like this, when you opt into a church, or when you opt into a church that values the scriptures, you have to understand that we go to a different drummer than the rest of society. The rest of society tends to be ruled by emotions. The rest of society tends to be ruled by their long-standing convictions, or the rest of society is ruled by whatever it is. But when you come to church, you're opting into to be under and be considered being ruled by the very truth of God that you or me may not feel it or understand in the moment. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17 is a classic verse on this. It says this: all scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That says that, what it says there is that whenever you're reading the Bible, or whether it's on electronic, or whether it's coming through the cloud, or whether it's old fuddy-duddy paper, or whether somebody's reading it, what happened a long time ago is somebody with their own personality in their cultural context was penning truth that God was literally breathing out, and it was coming through their hand and actually onto the paper. And the more you read the Bible, understand the Bible, the more we have to understand the limitations of our society. I hope whoever you voted for, you understand that your candidate had some major outages in relationship to the Bible. Whatever it was. And if you can't understand that, then there's a lot of Bible education you could undergo if you wanted to. This may be a you, may not be a we, but we have to have our hope and our filter not be popular society, whatever it is, but actually the Word of God that's been standing and blessing and education for generation after generation after generation. And so the problem is we're not being formed by God's truth, and then we're inside of a control group that basically just thinks and acts the way we think and act, and we don't understand other people. The Pew Research Center says this: in an increasingly contentious presidential campaign, just a quarter of voters who supported Donald Trump in the general election say they have a lot or some close friends who are supporters of Hillary Clinton. Even fewer Clinton backers, 18%, say they have at least some friends who support Trump. So we live in isolation with people who just think like us and act like us and talk like us, and we never broaden our perspectives to think of what somebody else has been experiencing, let alone broadening our perspective to see what the scripture actually speaks. I thought about doing this today. I'm not going to do it. I thought about doing it today. Saying, okay, because what's crazy about Crossroads is we are an incredibly diverse place. We're diverse in terms of skin color. We are diverse in terms of economic status. We are diverse in terms of educational background. We are diverse in terms of party affiliation. We are diverse in just so many things, on and on. And when we all select into this, we come from different places, yet we're all at the same time opting in to try to sense who God is and what may he want for our lives or want for our lives. And I thought about saying, gosh, why don't we just have right now everybody who voted for Donald Trump to just stand up. Just stand up right now. And then after that, there's one. After that, a man and a woman. I said, well, we weren't going to do this. You've just invited hatred on yourselves by doing it. And then, unfortunately, that's why I didn't do this. And then I was going to say, now, if you voted for Hillary Clinton, please stand up. And then we would have people stand up. And what I wanted to do with that, I wish that we could actually see somebody who voted differently than us and talk to them. Actually talk to somebody. Instead of just getting inside of our thing and getting upset because there's people out there who aren't like us and obviously they're wrong. Trent Lipinski, who is he'd be okay being defined as a leftist blogger. He's more on the left. He says this. He says, this is the problem with America today. The technology that was supposed to bring us together actually isolated us into echo chambers and drove us further apart. Getting the news from just your friends is a logical fallacy. You need to know your enemies and realize they're not much different from yourself. Not just know them, but as Jesus says, love them and pray for them. Book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. It's a political verse to people who are God's people. It's a political story. The Bible knows nothing about democracy. The Bible knows nothing about voting. This verse happens when people are under an oppressive regime, the regime of Rome. And here's what it says to them, and these words are just as applicable to us today. I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it's pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I'm just curious, who would like right now a little bit of peace? Would anybody like a little peace in here? Ooh. Who would like a little bit of quietness? Oh. Who would like a little bit of dignity? Let's get some dignity back into our country. My word. Who would like a little more godliness? Okay, now, how do you get that if you want those values? These verses say the way you do it is through prayer. Prayer, that is how you do it. And prayer for what? Here we go. Be careful. Watch this. For kings and people in high positions. That means presidents and president-elects. I'll tell you, a lot of people I know who are on the right side of the spectrum, and could tell you all the reasons why Barack Obama and some of the things he said and did and all that kind of stuff were outside the scripture. They could tell you all those reasons, on and on and on and on and on. And yet you couldn't fill a thimbleful of the amount of prayers that they prayed for the president. That verse says, pray for those in authority. That would be your president of the United States who's standing right now. And the right hasn't been good at that, in my opinion, at all. And now the left gets to see how you all do. Because Donald Trump, no matter how bad he might be, and I'm not trying to play my hand here, no matter how bad, he wasn't Caesar, who was just awful and oppressing first century Christians that this is written to. And you get to have the same challenge now. Will I pray for the president-elect? Now, while this happens, what takes place, when you get out of the kingdom of cantankerousness and anger, you start getting into the kingdom of God where there is peace and there is quiet. And when you get into that, you realize that no matter what side of the political spectrum you might be on, and I celebrate that we have a church that is seeking after God, it is on all different sides because all different sides have elements of Scripture that they're upholding. It's a very complex scene. It really is. But what we all agree on here is this. This is good. It's pleasing. And here's the thing. Our Savior desires all people to be saved, to come to knowledge of the truth. Our ultimate fight, if you're aligned in the family of God, in the household of God, isn't against fellow Americans, isn't against even ills of our society. Our ultimate fight is try to get people who are disconnected from God back to their Creator. Disconnected from God, back to Him. Now, okay, I'm done with political talk, all right? So just like, exhale, relax your sphincter. Just relax that it's no more butt pop. Don't release your sphincter. Just, some of you have already. We can sense that. Just kind of relax your sphincter. Are we okay? We peachy? All right? Some of you are, some of you aren't. That's all right. Here's the thing. Difficulty in God's people and even disagreement inside of God's people is not new. If we go to the Old Testament, way back to the prophet Isaiah, you had the nation of Israel that was divided. They were divided into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And the nation of Israel, as they're divided and sort of at emotional war with one another, their neighbors, Assyria and Syria, start picking them off and getting them to fight against one another. It's a really, really crazy scene. And in the midst of this political turmoil and national crisis, the prophet Isaiah comes along and gives them a message that is so relevant and so relevant to us today. Here's what he says. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and will people the desolate cities. Enlarge the place of your tent. How many of us are campers? Who likes to camp here? Anybody like to camp? A few of us. Yeah, but gosh, a good number. Probably more so since we've been doing man camp and woman camp. I'm a big camper. I camp about 30 nights a year. And so as I camp, I've got a little one-man tent, I've got a two-man tent, and I got a six-man tent. It's called the Tome Dome is what we call it. Big old six-man tent. And I get the whole family in there and even got room for another family member. Here's our other family member who's our sixth family member. This is Winston. You can see right this, our last camping trip of the family in the back. You can see the corner of the Tome Dome, and that's Winston. He's 140 pounds of stupid is what he is. He is amazing. He's awesome. And here's the thing. All the tents I have and all this stuff, the stakes get larger and larger the larger the tent gets. And the cords that go on either side of the tent in case a windstorm should come up, they get longer and longer. And the prophet Isaiah is borrowing on this tent reality to communicate to the people of God, say, look, don't get bothered about what's going on right now. Hold on. Don't lose your mind on what's going on. Let's keep our heads in the game. I want you to widen out your tent. And political parties will talk about a large tent that is nowhere near the largest tent that God's been creating forever, the tent of the kingdom of God, the tent of who would come into relationship with him. And the prophet of Isaiah says, spread it out. I'm telling you, get ready, God's going to do something. Spread it out. Take your stakes and drive it into the ground. The bigger it is, the deeper you need to be. Deeper in what? Not deeper in your emotions. Not deeper in your convictions, deeper in the Word of God, deeper in God's timeless truth. And you need to understand, you're part of a church right now, you're part of a movement that's taking these words literally and acting on them right now. We are spreading out our stakes. We have been opening up the flaps of who we are. And you need to be encouraged, those of you who are in part of the Amen campaign, well done. And we're going to celebrate you and what's been happening and hope for the process more of us will woo into this as we see people coming into a powerful, profound relationship with God. Man, it's beautiful. Some of the things that we've been investing in has been technology infrastructure and different sites that we have to try to raise the immersive quality. We've been trying to do things to expand the reach into normal people's lives who are in valleys. Let's take a look at some of their stories right now.
Relationship with God growing up was pretty forced. My last couple years of high school, I was actually a pretty outspoken atheist. I was a junior at UC, living in a house with six guys, and we had a house dog, my dog. One of my roommates used my dog against me. He put treats in my bed and her ball in my bed. So when she was in my room in the morning, she jumped into bed and started scratching all over the mattress. And then he came in my room and was like, "Oh, you're up? All right, cool. Let's go to church." So then I went. I think the first thing I saw, besides free coffee, was like, this site uses strobe effects. And I was like, all right, like, what am I getting myself into right now? And I'm somebody that's really big on music. I listen to music literally throughout my entire day. So coming in here and having a live band and something that's really enveloping, I think that's one of the things that really got me hooked. There was never any like boring aspect about coming to Crossroads. Like, I would get excited Saturday nights bartending, like, cool, I get to go to church tomorrow. And to come in here and to spend that first 20 minutes worshiping in a way where you kind of just get a rock out too, that's something that really, really stuck out to me. I don't know that I'd necessarily still be coming here if it wasn't for the first guitar chord that I heard when I first walked in here. God was always just like this grand idea, this like a being that like I couldn't ever relate to. And coming to Crossroads, putting worship into a language that I really understand, to see that kind of transformation, to see the way that just 20 minutes of a different kind of worship has impacted the everyday life of a 22-year-old kid who really doesn't know what he's doing most of the time. And to have that everyday relationship with God, I mean, if you want to talk about an impact on a person, I think that's the greatest kind of impact you can have. I think it's really kind of like welcome God into my life as a friend, as a father, instead of some huge dynamic being that I won't ever be able to understand.
Started attending Crossroads in 2003. In 2012 or so, 2011 maybe, my wife said, "I feel like I'm being called to Columbus. We need to move to Columbus."
I started attending Crossroads in 2011. And at the time I was looking for trying to stay in Cincinnati and sort of bargaining with God to stay in Cincinnati. He was basically like, "Nope, you gotta go to Columbus." And I met Dave and Tracy, who, you know, shared their story, and it was like, wow, like that kind of got us thinking a little bit about, well, how can we build some of that community in Columbus, in our neighborhood?
In the earlier months, it may have been 5 or 6 people, but over time, we've had as many as 14 at one time. People show up, we have offer them a drink, we go downstairs to the basement, we have a nice setup for streaming after the service, and then head upstairs. And the rest of the evening is really focused on getting to know people on a much deeper level.
About 25% of the people that come on Saturdays either had never stepped foot in Crossroads or hadn't heard of Crossroads. Going through different churches in Columbus, I think they all represent a different part of the body of Christ, but there's still a chunk that's missing. And I think, you know, for me, the reason why I'm a Christ follower and the reason, you know, God put Crossroads in my life to basically teach me about Jesus in a way that I could understand.
There's something about Crossroads Anywhere that really works and worked well for us. I mean, I don't think we'd be where we are today without the service they provided.
I lived a lifestyle of in the streets, selling drugs, partying, clubbing.
I got addicted to drugs and alcohol and started robbing people, and it just took me down a path that landed me ultimately in prison.
In this environment, a lot of times we don't like to express or our true feelings or even show any type of vulnerability.
I was starting to get caught up in religion, but then God was trying to show me something like, keep your mind off of religion. It ain't about religion. It's about the relationship.
It was just an eye-opening experience when you heard, whether it be Brian or Chuck, mention the guys at Lebanon Correctional. You know, hear the crowd cheering for us was different.
just like made me feel like there are people out there that still love us. There are people out there that's praying for us.
I enjoy the fellowship, the extended family and community that comes here into Lebanon. It has blessed my life and enriched it greatly. It has taught me that it's okay to be vulnerable. It has taught me and encouraged me to open up more and to be able to share as I'm doing now.
That is amazing. That's amazing. It's the church that comes to people who are in the valley of a prison. It's God's people. It's why we've been stretching things out. So well done, those of you who've enabled us to do that. Well done, well done. It's not just there. It's also at CityLink, where we put millions and millions and millions of dollars into helping the working poor here in our city. You know, a massive problem that our church members, yeah, that's right, our church members who are in prisons, who have felonies in the records, when they come back, they can't get a job because our society doesn't do second chances well at all. We don't. And so, like, there's, I know, we can't hire this, can't hire that. And so CityLink, which, by the way, what's going to happen with a felon if he comes back and because he's a felon, he or she can't get a job? What do you think they might do? So CityLink has a new program that we're helping with. It's called the Center for Employment Opportunities. It's the best in class nationwide, coming to Cincinnati to help felons get jobs. What happens is a felon comes in, they get a job that pays them every day, so they're incentivized. Every day you show up and you get paid literally every day. And then over the course of time, they are amassing a work history of faithfulness and showing up. And then they can take that to an employer and actually have another employer vouch for them that says, yes, this person shows up and they work well, and boom, the cycle can be broken. And you get to be part of that. You get to be saying, yes, I am stretching out the very heart of God as a result of that. And it's not just here locally. We've also been able to have a digital infrastructure through our campaign that's enabled stuff like kids being tutored, kids, girls who used to be raped for profit in India, who we've rescued and we're bringing them back to wholeness. Learning English as tutors show up at 6:30 in the morning in Cincinnati, tutoring over computer lines to be able to help teach them English that gives them a better shot of having a higher paying job in India. That's you. Or 40% of the projects that we've committed to build in Nicaragua for the thousands of kids that we feed and educate until they're 18, that money has been going into building bathrooms and educational facilities. 328 of our kids right now are using those projects right now. That is good news. That is great news. And guess what? It's happening because you've been faithful. Well, well, well done. Expanding the tent. Expanding it. When it was a difficult thing to do, and it was a trying thing to do, and yet you feel encouraged that, my gosh, God is using you, and you are standing on the backs of greats who have gone before you and encouraged people to do that, including the very prophet Isaiah. And it's things that we've been looking at for a long time that have been a long time coming.
I'm a pediatrician at a federally qualified health center in the Eastgate area that is just probably half a mile from here. And the reality is, I mean, in this city, about 9% of babies born have been exposed to drugs in the mother's womb. And it's not only the babies and the children, it's the families that are broken and the mothers that are that have a history of addiction. We wanted people to have a place they feel comfortable going just as they are. We know that we were in that place. We didn't have a church home. We were new. And Crossroads was that place that felt welcoming. This is something that we in the community on the east side have prayed for, I mean, at least 5 years. It fills me with absolute joy. It is the best thing I can say. it will serve a purpose of allowing people to be in community with other believers. It will be a place for people to seek out what they believe. It will be a place for people to grow, just as Crossroads has done for our family. And then, of course, I have a huge hope for this to serve as a place where people who are struggling with addiction or are recovering from addiction, for them to find hope and freedom through Jesus.
Growing up, everything was, it was a pretty good life until I was about like 8 years old, 9 years old, and then my mom and dad split up, and we moved in with our grandparents, and it was all right for a little bit, but then my mom got with my stepdad, and then after that, life just went downhill. We like started moving a lot and stuff, and she started doing opiates. I kind of like gave up, so I dropped out freshman year and like started working with my dad, and I didn't know really about the Bible and stuff. I just knew there was like a higher power and stuff like that. But I didn't really know like about Jesus and God. I came to Crossroads 2 years ago with my grandma, and I came like every once in a while. I went to the Thanksgiving, Easter, like the holiday ones mainly. I just feel like he put me in positions and like put me on paths and stuff, and just like really helped me. Like ever since I like started building a relationship with him. At Man Camp, I said out loud that I want him to be my Lord and Savior, and I got baptized in front of everybody. So I feel like a whole new person now. I don't know what he has in store for me, but I just want to do whatever pleases him, really. Without Crossroads, I wouldn't have this relationship with God, and I wouldn't be where I am right now, because like I said, it just opened my eyes and opened doors to places that I don't think I could have gone without him. I just feel like people on the west side need Jesus more, and like what Crossroads is doing, the stuff we're doing, like building the parking lot, people are going to experience God in a whole new way, and it's all because people giving that amen and just donating their time and money and stuff. It's amazing.
My father was Catholic, my mother was Presbyterian, so I had a little bit of background with church, but I had some experiences where it left me questioning the goodness of God, and then my mom got sick, and so very quickly I decided God wasn't good, and then I saw no evidence of God being present, and so I just decided that God wasn't here, and so I quickly became atheist. There was a whole lot of brokenness filling my life and not a whole lot of hope or happiness. And so what that left me with was, even though on the exterior I checked all these American Dream boxes, deep inside I was struggling and I was really unhappy. I didn't want to live anymore. I had to negotiate with myself to live through some days. And the only thing that kept me alive was the fact that I loved my sister and that I believe that once you died, you cease to exist. And so that's where I was existing. When my sister invited me to Awaited, and it shattered me. Suddenly, I realized that this thing that I had been waiting for so long came for me so long ago. There was a God who loved broken, empty shell of a person, me, when I couldn't love myself. And that's what it's about. I was humbled and I was loved, and I was broken and healed all at the same time. And when I got home, I looked up when Crossroads would be having more services. And so I just immediately started coming back. I'm passionate about people experiencing Awaited, because if you've experienced receiving Jesus, you want to share that with other people. And so having been an atheist for 14 years and then suddenly hearing these things, if we can bring that to Mason and bring that to people we love dearly who haven't encountered God, why wouldn't we want to do that? I think that that's the most extraordinary thing that we can offer to the people we love. I would never have expected myself to be where I am today, but I am so thankful for all of it. It's amazing, and I don't doubt God's goodness at all anymore.
Man, so we're not talking about, you know, ethereal projects or buildings that are out there someplace. We're talking about tents. We're talking about tents that we're constructing, tents that we're expanding for real people's lives, real flesh and blood people. And it's not just things that are affecting people that we understand, like Awaited or other stuff. It's also stuff that we're doing that we haven't done before. We're also building new things.
Aaron and I met about 5.5 years ago in 2011. We'd been engaged for years.
For a few years
before we actually started planning everything. We had talked about what we were going to do. We had tried to set some plans, and things never really synced up and worked out. So the feeling that we got when we started coming to Crossroads is what then made us feel as if this is our home, this is where we're going to worship, and this is where we're going to, you know, raise our kids.
We just both kind of brought it up at the same time. Hey, wouldn't it be interesting to get married out there? And I guess it kind of was God talking to us, or talking to me, saying, hey, it's about that time. And it's been long enough.
Everything fell into place, and so I feel that our faithfulness, along with everybody else's faithfulness that comes to the church, they made this happen.
And that's awesome, because without it, I don't know if we'd be married.
By the time, like, I got to college and everything, I just had no relationship with God. I had been struggling for the last year and a half, really 2 years, with strong drug and alcohol addictions. Last year, I got introduced to a 12-step program, and I tried to do it, and I couldn't do it. I don't know why. I just felt like I couldn't do it. And then finally, coming to Crossroads and working a 12-step program, once I started doing that, I kind of felt that sigh of relief. Battling with those addictions wasn't all everybody thinks it was. Like, one morning I woke up and I was like, I'm good, like, I can do this. I had to continually pray on it and, you know, call people that I'm friends with that know my situation, and them kind of be like, hey, you're okay, you don't need to do that. This is a community of people who have your best interests and want to see you succeed and want you to grow in God. And before, I didn't really have any hope that he was there, and now since I started being here and serving and worshiping him, you know, I've seen myself grow in many aspects. I'm staying clean, I'm being able to pray to him every day and be comfortable praying out loud with people who never really felt like they had a place to come and feel belong. This is going to be the place for them, and this is going to be the place where they make not short-term friends but long-term friends that truly care about them and only want to see them succeed.
Just get divorced. Got a kind of different plan, and he spoke into my life in a powerful way. I saw my wife for the first time, like through God's eyes, and it was beautiful. And she was just lost and hurting, just like me. And I think it can work, and we're fighting now for that.
If I deeply plant myself in Christ, I will stand, even in the midst of the wind blowing.
My identity is in God, and I know I am forgiven and accepted. I'm not my past. I'm not my mistakes. I am a daughter of the one true King.
I'm so grateful for this experience. I am just like my father, and my goal in life is to live more like Jesus.
We would sing, and we would sound like a collective, like one little girl, and it was just really, really powerful.
When I came out of that water, I completely felt different. I'm leaving that baggage here, and it's staying here, and I'm going home refreshed.
And I felt like God was really telling me that He has given me this fire within me, and, you know, I've given you this torch, and now it is your job to spread that wherever He takes me.
Let's hear it from Man Camp and Woman Camp alumni. Come on, how excited. Come on now. Yes, yes, yes. Here's the thing about that. I don't know if you've been noticing, you know, our country again tries to divide all of us up. I hope you're not looking at that thing trying to figure out who voted for who. Like, oh, yeah, that dude in Florence with the Green Bay thing. Oh, he's absolutely a Trumpster. Absolutely. Oh, yeah, that chick on the east side who's in, like, public health here. Oh, absolutely, she's Hillary. I know. No. It doesn't work that way. In the kingdom of God, we're all under the same tent. If we're trying to expand the tent for people like that, expanding hearts, expanding vision. And the way that happens is our heart gets expanded. I mean, we've, well done for being able to enable us to do what we're doing, and it's come at a cost. We've sacrificed things, those of us who are in. There's places we could have gone that we can't afford to go right now. There's things we could have that we don't have right now. There's additional digits in a savings account that aren't there right now. There's sacrifices. They might not have all been painful, but there's something different. And because of that, you can identify with the character of Jesus who actually made a sacrifice. And you can identify with the character of other people who have sacrificed for Him, including one of our teammates.
Coming into the I'm In campaign, my husband was willingly about to give up a very comfortable job, and I was newly pregnant. When Chuck was talking about putting everything on the table, the one thing that I was kind of holding back, I think, in my hands was this little amount of money. Well, it's not a little amount of money. We wanted to save to go to Australia. We wanted to put an addition in our house and send our kids to college, and I just heard God say, that's mine. And I added that up in my head. It's just like, holy crap, $30,000. That's more than I would have ever thought. I knew that that was the case, and we wrote it down and we put it on a sheet of paper and we said, okay, God, we trust you. And 6 weeks before I had our second baby, so this was in March, he unexpectedly lost his job. And that kind of shattered our world a little bit. My husband and I sat down at our table and we cried a little bit together, but he looked up at me and he said, you know what? God's gonna look so great at the end of this story. And that was, his faithfulness in that moment was amazing, and it was exactly what I needed to hear. So despite my husband losing his job, we did a quick look at our finances, we turned off a lot of our savings, and we said, you know what, we're gonna keep this I'm In commitment. And having given to the I'm In campaign for almost a year, I have seen so much of God in this entire journey. My parents are the people that I owe school loans to, but they actually just forgave my debt unexpectedly. I work at Procter & Gamble, and they extended their maternity leave policy, so I got 2 extra months of paid leave that I wasn't going to have before. And then this past July, my husband found a job that is infinitely better matched for his skill sets. It's a place that he's gonna thrive in, and he's making more money than he was at the job that he would have been in had he not lost it. All of those things happened, and I could say they were just flukes, but I know they're God. I know that he used all of that stuff to teach me a lesson about money, and that just, it's wonderful.
Mm. You know, it's not just people in corporate America. It's people like who were part of our church who were in Lebanon Correctional Facility. I get letters from folks who are part of our church who are in prison right now. They send letters and they send cash offerings saying, I'm in, I'm in. They figured out tithe or whatever it is. They put that because we are all in who are actually in. It's people like this guy. I get these emails all the time. Here's one. I'm sitting in my kitchen looking at our numbers of our personal finances, and here we are in the middle of the year, and we have an excess of $6,000. At first, you may think, huh, how would that be? However, my wife and I have decided to give 30% of our income to the I'm In campaign. How could there be this excess? God has honored our commitment and has reduced our expenses so that we have extra funds, even though we have increased our giving and our income has not increased for the first half of the year. Test me, God said, and we did. God is just awesome. Awesome. So all of these things are meant to encourage you, man. Well done, well done. You will never have to wonder if your life is making an impact. You'll never have to wonder that. You'll never have to wonder if God is using your life. You'll never have to wonder whether or not I'm actually getting outside of myself. The evidence is very, very clear. Well, well done. Great job. If you've made a I'm In commitment and you've not started, which is about 25% of our church, time to start. Time to start. Just start on it. If you're brand new to our church, like new as in today, I know you're like, oh my gosh, what in the world did I come into? Thank you for not walking out. You're a strong person to kind of hang in here the whole time. Maybe you've been at Crossroads for like 4 months, 5 months. Maybe you were at Crossroads way back when you were attending Crossroads and you didn't get in by making a commitment. And maybe your heart's ready now. Man, we need you. We need you to expand, and you need this for your heart to expand. And pardon the cheesy pun, but the way you can cast your ballot, by taking that commitment card in your program, dropping it off at whatever site you're at, take it home, pray about it, crunch numbers, drop it off at the office. We'd love, love, love to have you have the same enjoyment and fulfillment that the rest of us do by knowing that God is using our labors, our prayers, our finances to expand his tent, expand his kingdom, and to rebuild broken lives. Are we good with that? Are we excited? We should be. You should be very encouraged. Well done. Well done. All right, let me pray for us right now and just say this. God, thank you for the opportunity to gather as one people in the midst of a divided nation, to be actually united in following after you and understanding who you are. Thank you, God, for the amazing caliber of people that you've gathered to this place at all the different sites, all over the region, people who are at anywhere right now. We pray that they would get a real sight close to them soon. I pray that you would affirm the sacrifices that have happened inside of your sacrificial people. Not only affirm them, but you also would have things break their way. Notice that your people are faithful, God. And I thank you for the opportunity to get square on your character and your move this weekend. And I pray these things according to your identity, Jesus. Amen.
Hey guys, I don't know if you realize this, but Anywhere didn't exist 12 months ago. As a result of the I'm In campaign, over the last 12 months, we've been able to allow people to be a part of Crossroads, to hear about Jesus in a language they can understand all over the world. And the vision is massive. Our friends and family, no matter where they live, no matter who they are, can be a part of Crossroads through Anywhere. And if you would want to join the team, if you want to be a part of the campaign, this is for us too. We are on the team. We're a part of Crossroads, and we can go from being sort of benefactors, people who benefit from the campaign, to people who are funding the campaign and on the team. And I would love to do that. Over the last year, this has been one of the most honoring things that my life has been about. And it would be incredible for us to be on a team together in the I'm In campaign. So you can go to crossroads.net/commitment and complete a commitment card today and be a part of this journey over the next few years. It's gonna be really, really incredible. Next weekend is the start of our Finding Peace series, and I would just encourage you to grab your coworkers, your families, and your friends, because this is gonna be a chance for us to escape, experience an hour of peace, and it could really change the holiday season for a lot of people. We're glad you're here, and I'll see you next weekend.